About this before we go any further. Let me tell you an illustration first. Many years ago, I think it was in the 1800s, there was a rebellion in China called the Boxer Rebellion. Was that in the 1800s? I can't quite remember now, but I think it was. You know, Spike, was it in the 1800s? Stumped him. All right. So anyway, a lot of people were killed. Missionaries were killed. And there were mobs trying to drive out the foreigners, the Europeans and the North Americans. So there was a U.S. envoy who was at the, wasn't the ambassador, but one of the U.S. envoys. He was trying to escape to the seaport to be able to leave China. And his life was in great danger. There were mobs roaming the streets. And he came up with this idea. He took an American flag and he wrapped himself in the American flag. And he went through the streets wrapped in the authority and power and influence of the United States of America. He was a representative of the United States of America. He was an American. And he wrapped himself in that flag. And he made it all the way to the seaport because no one, though they wanted to, no one dared to touch him because he was wrapped in the authority and power and might of the United States. That's what it means to put on the armor of God. It is to wrap yourself in the covering of Jesus Christ and all that he is. Now, I have a friend who was moving a few years ago, and he was downsizing. He had a lot of nice clothes, and he gave me some shirts and khaki pants, and he gave me a jacket. Not this one, but I'm just going to use this as an illustration. He gave me a mohair jacket. It's a suit jacket, something you'd wear in the wintertime. It's really a cool jacket. It's a little bit out of style, but hey. Who cares? So I like to wear it sometimes in church. And it's just a great jacket. Likely it was a very expensive jacket at one time. Now, he gave it to me as a gift. So it's now my jacket, but it's his jacket. But it's now also my jacket. And it hangs in my closet. Now, it's mine. And it's from him. But it really does me no good unless I go into my closet and I take, we'll pretend this is it, and I put that jacket on. And I reckon and claim this jacket to be protection and covering. That it's mine from him. And I reckon it as mine and I put it on. The other way is that you might be in the building, and let's say we have a real cold snap while we're in here speaking tonight, and we go out and it's freezing cold and the wind's blowing, and so I have it. You see, people say, "Well, how do I put on Christ if I have Christ?" Well, this is having Christ, but appropriating or putting on or appropriating all he is and what he's done. So I'll just use this for an example. So we have a cold snap out there tonight, and it's frigid and the wind's blowing, and I step out of the church in this jacket, but right away I need to really appropriate it. And so I start to zipper it up. And it's really wind blowing. And I get the collar up. And if I had a hood, I'd pull the hood up and I get my hands and I sink into it. You know how it is when it's cold and you try to sink into it and keep yourself warm inside. And you're doing the very thing it talks about here of putting on the armor. And it means that in a time of bitterness, a time of coldness, a time of hardship, and whether it's the devil or not, or whether it's something he might be taking advantage of, you pull yourself together in that suit, so to speak. And you hunker down in it, and you reckon it, and you believe it to be
a proper covering and a protection for you. So here's what I like to do.
When I'm under spiritual attack or any kind of deep spiritual problems, I like to pray out loud and claim the truth about Christ and who I am in Christ. Now, the devil is not God. He cannot read your mind. Evil spirits cannot read your mind. You'll notice when they came to Jesus, they would ask him, "You're not going to do this, are you? Or don't do this." And they can't read your mind. Now, they're very intelligent beings. The word demon means knowledgeable, intelligent, intellect. And, you know, they're pretty good at guessing what's going on in our mind. They've had thousands of years of practice at this. And even you and I, we, in our short lifespan, we've got to the point, especially a pastor, he gets to a point where he's watching people and he's getting a feeling, well, I know what they're thinking or their expression or whatever. But he can't read your mind. So I'd like to confess. Christianity has a lot about confession. The early Christians made great confessions of their belief and confessions of their faith. And so what I like to do when I'm in a difficult time, I like to pray out loud and talk to God about Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done and what he's accomplished, and pray about his resurrection, pray about his death, pray about his sinless life, pray about his exaltation, pray about his coming again. I like to also verbally put on the armor. Some days when I hop out of bed, I'll do it. I'll just out loud say, "Lord, today I claim the helmet of your salvation. I thank you that I'm saved by the grace of God. My sins are forgiven and I belong to you. Lord, I claim the breastplate of your righteousness. My righteousness is as filthy rags, but your righteousness is just and holy, and I claim your righteousness given to me by Jesus Christ. And I am, whether I feel it or not, covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Lord, I claim your truth. I claim the belt of your truth, the belt that circles me, all the truth you've given me. I've been saved now for 49 years. Lord, all the truth that you've given me in 49 years, I claim all that truth that you've taught me and shown me and I've learned to experience. Lord, today I claim the gospel shoes of peace. I thank you for the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. I claim that gospel that was the salvation, my salvation as I heard it and believed it. I claim the peace that I now have with God, and the peace of God that your truth gives me. And Lord, as I go forth today marching for you in this world with the gospel, I claim that gospel as not only your gospel, but my gospel. Lord, I claim the shield of your faithfulness. That's what it is. It's not the shield of my faith. It's the shield of his faithfulness. And read through the scriptures about his faithfulness and his mercies that are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And Lord, I claim your faith. I know that you're with me. I know you'll take care of me. I know you'll never leave me nor forsake me. And Lord, today I claim the sword of your spirit, the sword that cuts this way, the double-edged sword, the sword that cuts this way in my heart, and the sword that can cut that way in the hearts of others as I wield your sword today. And I claim the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And Lord, by prayer, I now put on this armor, this truth, this reckoning of Christ. I claim it all to myself as protection and strength. I like to read the scriptures out loud. I always do that unless I am in a group where I can't do it. But especially when I have my devotions, I like to, here's what I like to do. I like to see it, think it, say it, hear it, and think it again. I just like doing that. And I don't know where Satan and his evil spirits are. Not likely Satan is around me because I'm such a little fish, but I'm sure there's evil spirits around me. I like them to hear the Word of God because they hate it. It repels them. That's how you resist them. When Jesus, when in the wilderness, when the devil came to Jesus, what did he use to repel the devil? He quoted the word of God. Satan hates the word of God. It drives him off. And when you do these things, when you make verbal confessions of the doctrines of Christ, when you pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, when you read the scriptures out loud, this repels the attack that's coming against you. I like to sing songs of truth. I have certain songs that I like to sing that if I'm having a hard time. I have certain scripture verses that I quote when I'm having a hard time. I quote them out loud. But I have certain songs that I like to sing if I'm having a difficult time. Or I put on the radio on the car or in the house and Alexa, play. I'll tell her to play. And I hope she's not here, is she? Anyway, and she'll play the song. And boy, there's some great, I like the Getty music. It's kind of got a Celtic flavor to it. But some of it is really doctrinal and truthful and powerful. Some songs are just kind of, I don't know, silly-dilly songs. They're not bad just for listening. But when you're in the midst of a battle, a mighty fortress is our God. Martin Luther said, and one little word will fell him. One of God's word will put him down. That's amazing. And I like to listen to music. Turn the music on. Listen to it. To create an atmosphere in your home. We have four sons, and when they were little boys, getting ready for church was like, I don't know, it was like going to hell some days. It was chaotic. I mean, everything can go wrong. You don't know. When you got a young family, everything, by the time you get to church, you're so frazzled and your nerves are shot. We would turn on Christian music and turn it on loud. And try to create that atmosphere in the house and sing and help them to learn it. And at times, the Bible says we should reprove the works of darkness. And at times, I will speak out loud and I'll renounce evil and sin or any temptation. And sometimes, not everybody agrees with this, but sometimes I'll rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus Christ to any of the doctrines of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to put on the armor. It means to understand it and believe it and appropriate it in your mind and then apply it in your life. And I apply it by confession, by prayer, and by verbal reading of God's word. I encourage you to do that. Whenever you're facing difficulty, turn to Christ. Whenever you're facing, go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He is our safe haven. He is our harbor. And we are in Him. And the enemy hates it. Because he can't defeat. He was defeated by Christ. He can't defeat the things of Christ. And when you hide yourself in Christ, and behind the covering of His armor and His truths, then the enemy is not able to get you. And when I began to learn this as a Christian and learn what it was to reckon it personally and to appropriate it personally and to practice it personally, it really started to help me. It really started to help me. So I hope in some way it will help you. A few years ago, maybe it's 10, 12 years ago, a friend of mine who's a counselor and a preacher, teacher, he called me one afternoon. He said, Barry, I need your help this afternoon. Would you come with me? And we need to go out into the countryside. He told me the name of the area. And he said, I want you to come with me. We need to go out there and pray in a house. And I said, yeah, sure. What's going on? He said, well, the wife has accepted Christ, and I've been discipling her. The father and the two kids are not saved yet, teenage girl and boy. But since she accepted Christ,
their home is becoming chaotic. The house is becoming chaotic. And they recently left the house, and they're living in a motel. There's sounds in the house. There's movement in the house. There's weird things in the house. And I thought, well, I'm quite busy this afternoon. Maybe I'm not sure I've got time to go out and help you today. But no, I said I would. I said, well, I've never done anything. You know, well, I can pray. I guess I can pray in a house. So I said, all right, we went out. We went out in the country. And it was an old kind of a house, farmy type of house. And of course, they were gone, and he had the key. We went in. I said, well, what are you planning to do here? And he said, well, we're going to go into every room and read scripture about Christ. Stuff like Ephesians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2, different passages that exalt Jesus Christ and the victories of Christ and who he is. And like Philippians chapter 2, where, you know, how that being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, humbled himself, became obedient unto death, and go on, and how that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. And that's such a wonderful passage. I just love that. So I said, yeah, well, I can do that. And then he said, and so one of us will pray and we'll read scripture, and the other will pray, and we'll just go through the whole house and just present Christ. In an empty house, houses aren't always empty. The dooryards are not always empty. You ever get in your car and wonder if there's somebody sitting in the back seat and you had this feeling and you had to look around? Sometimes there is somebody in the back seat. We live in a world of invisible beings, and some of them are holy, helpful beings. Praise God for guardian angels and angels that are around us, ministering spirits. But there's also evil spirits around us. And if you give them a place, they'll try to take control of that place and those people. So we went into the kitchen, and it was kind of an open space into the living room. We kind of walked around, and just off the living room was this little room. And I don't know why. I never did ask him why he chose to start in that little room. Now, what I can remember was there was kind of like a big bookcase, and then there was this. He said it was a cat cage, but it was about 3 feet off the ground. I don't think it could have been. But it was quite a big cage with a door on it. And there was some more stuff and the pictures. But right in the corner here by the bookcase was a table with a totem pole on it. And it wasn't a West Coast totem pole. It was an African totem pole about this high. And so he said, well, you start. And I think I was reading, I can't remember now for sure, I think I was reading Colossians chapter 1, which is really, I can't quite remember how it goes now, but it's really a great passage there about, well, I'm going to kind of read it to you right now. Great passage there about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and earth, visible, indivisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things created by him, for him. And he's before all things, and in him all things consist. Verses that the devil loves. Verses that Satan hates. When you're having a hard time, read some of those verses out loud. So he said, you read. So I picked those out, and I started reading. I got about halfway through those verses, and all of a sudden, wham! And I looked up, and that totem pole was right on its face on that table. Now, I've never in my life seen that happen, and it's never happened again. I think the hair, whatever hair I have, stood up.
And all I could think of was, I looked at him and I said, Dagon has fallen. If you know the story of Dagon, the Greek, the Philistine god, and how that they captured the Ark of the Covenant, took it down to Philistia, and they put the Ark in front of Dagon, the idol. And in the morning they came back and Dagon had fallen right over on his face. And the next day they did it again. This time he fell over and I think, what, didn't his hands break off or something? I looked at my friend and said, Dagon has fallen. So I finished reading my passage and then he started praying. I had my eyes closed. And as he was praying, the door on that cage came off and fell on the floor. And I opened my eye. You're not supposed to open your eyes when somebody's praying, but I did. I opened my eyes. And that thing is rattling on the floor. Now, every hair is standing up. Now, I don't tell this story very often because, I don't know. People get all kinds of opinions. And I don't have things like that happen in my life very often at all. But to happen that day, I don't know what was going on there. We went out to the other rooms and did the same thing. Nothing happened. We went upstairs. We did that in each room and nothing happened. We went into the girl's bedroom. She would be about 16, I guess, he said. And in her room, it was a mess. It was trashed. Now, that's maybe typical for a teenager that the room is a mess. But her stuff was all tore up. She's a girl in pain. She's tearing things up. Breaking things, wrecking things. We prayed in that room and nothing happened. We came down in the kitchen again and the boy had drawn these occultic drawings. They looked to be occultic drawings and they had them pinned up on the fridge. I wouldn't advise that kind of stuff on your fridge. So anyway, my friend took the totem pole. He took a couple of things from her room. He took the drawings that were on the fridge. He took them home and burned them in his barbecue. He told me later. I wasn't there, but they actually were able to move back into their home a few days later. Haunted houses? I don't know. I don't know really. I'm just telling you this story. I don't understand it all. We don't know exactly when Satan attacks or how he attacks. Sometimes we're quite sure he's attacking. Other times we're not sure. But it really doesn't matter. We are to put on the armor of God and to claim Jesus Christ in all of the situations of life. Christ is the answer. And I encourage you to start doing this. Maybe you already do. Maybe you do it silently, but I challenge you to do it publicly. Do it publicly. And by putting the armor on, I'll just have to hit on this quickly. By putting the armor on, it helps us to stand. Now, I want you to look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Not fall, not run, not quit. Stand against, in the direction of the attack of the devil. Look in verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. One of the reasons for wearing the armor of God is that when the enemy comes in like a flood or the circumstances of life are battering us, we're able to stand firm and not be pushed back, not fall back, not collapse and not run, but stand. I think it's verse 12, the word against is mentioned, well, maybe five or six times in verse 12. Stand against. Because as Christians, we're marching into this world with the gospel of Christ to glorify God. We're moving into dark territory, Satan's territory, the kingdom of darkness, and we're going against. And when he attacks, we're to stand against that. And then we're to march further. And we're not to be filled with fear, not to go any further. You need to keep going. keep going, and don't be pushed back. This term, putting on the armor of God, covering yourself in Christ so you can stand, is a military term. And Paul's in prison when he writes this, or he's imprisoned in a house, and he's got Roman guards coming in, soldiers. It would have been the Roman Praetorian Guard. It would have been Caesar's palace guards, Nero's guards. And they've got all their armament. And that's what he's writing this, because he's 24 hours a day, one of these guys is guarding him or chained to him. He talks about his chain. The Roman soldiers were trained to stand and never to fall back, to stand in place, and if they had to die in that place. The Roman had the greatest military force in the world for 1,000 years. And we think the U.S. has got a powerful military, and they do, but they've only been powerful for the last century. The Roman armies were dominant for 1,000 years. And they had different formations, but one of their formations was called the phalanx. The phalanx. And it was a square formation where a legion of 4,000 to 5,000 men would join together in a square and take their stand. And these men would be shoulder to shoulder, chest to back, in one mass of men. Their shields, overlocked shields all across. It was called a shield wall. Their spears were thrust out through cracks between the shields or under or over the shields. It was called a spear hedge. And as the hordes attacked, the soldiers behind raised all their shields over their heads, so it was a shield ceiling. And the armies that came against them were often barbarian hordes that attacked in mass, but they could not break the wall. The soldiers stood. Each man standing next to his partner, supporting his partner with overlapping shields, and the man behind propping you up from behind, and the guy behind him propping him up, and it was a wall of men standing. And when they attacked, it was Roman auxiliaries in the back who shot thousands of arrows over the head into the enemy. And then each row of men, the first row fired their spears. Then it would be the second row fired their spears. Then the third row fired their spears. Then the next row. And they were almost unbeatable. And then they went into combat with their short Roman sword. And by these people massing together, supporting one another, they were able to stand. That's what a church should be. That's what a congregation should be. It's a square of men and women, shoulder to shoulder, chest to back, protecting one another, fighting for one another, standing for one another, and standing for Christ. So the word stand is histeme. And it's a military term for forming soldiers to block. Histamine. Actually, that's where we get the word histamine. And we're more familiar with the word antihistamine, which we often take in medicine, right? Histamine, which is the same word, is chemicals in your immune system that block allergies and force them out of your body. And they're very strong at doing this. And as they force the allergies out of your body, your nose runs. and your eyes water, and your skin itches, and you cough, because they're very good. They're one article I was reading said they're the bouncers of the human body. They're the fighters, the blockers. And when the allergies are attacking, they stand up and fight, and push the allergies out. Now, the problem is we don't like all the allergies getting pushed out. We don't like our nose running continually, our eyes watering. So we take medicine called antihistamine, which slows down the histamines. So our nose is not constantly running. It just runs a little bit. It's the same word for taking your stand to block the enemy. Hold your ground. Stand against the enemy. And not let him push you. And even if you have to stand alone, claim Christ, cover yourself in the truth of Christ, and stand, even if you stand alone. In that picture that you've all seen of Tiananmen Square, 1989, hundreds of thousands of demonstrators for 7 weeks demonstrating against the Chinese government, demonstrating for freedom and democracy and human rights. And many of them were Christian. You couldn't help but think about them with the demonstrations going on in Hong Kong. But when the army finally moved in, thousands were killed. But there was that one young man, remember him? With a shopping bag in each hand in Tiananmen Square, who walked in front of the line of tanks. There was a line of tanks coming down through the square. And he, with his two shopping bags, he stood in front of the line of tanks, and they stopped. They started to move again, and he didn't move, and they stopped. The tank commander got out and talked to him, but they didn't run him over. He stood and faced them down. They did, I guess, eventually get him. He's never been heard of again. But in that moment, broadcast on TV, you can find it still today on YouTube, this courageous young man standing alone and facing down that line of tanks. It's like the three Hebrew boys when Nebuchadnezzar called in all the leaders of his provinces and to fall down before the idol of gold. Nebuchadnezzar built an idol of gold because Daniel told him about the idol. The head was gold. The arms and chest were of silver, and then the belly of bronze, and then the hip and legs of iron. And he didn't want them to be anybody after him. So he was fighting against God's revelation of the head of gold, and he built his own idol, his own statue, all of gold. In other words, it's going to be me for my kingdom from now on, no others. And he brought them all in, and they all had to, at the sound of the music, they all had to bow and bend. But there were three boys who would not budge. And they stood by faith. They're listed in Hebrews chapter 11. They stood by faith and defied King Nebuchadnezzar. Even when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, they did not burn up, even have the smell of smoke on their clothes. I wish that was true of my house right now. And a fourth person walked with them in the fire, whose form was as the Son of God. I believe it was the Lord Jesus who protected them, gave them strength to stand. That's a wonderful, wonderful and amazing story. So I encourage you tonight to put on the armor of God in those dark, dark, difficult days, in those days of terrible temptation, in those days where it seems that there's an invisible hand on your chest pushing you back and stopping you, in those days where you seem in despair and depression and discouragement. As a young pastor, I had terrible periods of depression in my life. I don't remember ever having them when I was a teenager. I am kind of introverted. You wouldn't know that by talking to me, I guess. But A good day for me is to go out in the woods and be all alone. I kind of like that, but that's not what God's called me to do, so I've learned to overcome that and be kind of an extrovert in some ways. But I used to, as I was starting a church and in Amherst, Nova Scotia, we were there 10 years, and during that time, there was an amazing amount of spiritual attacks that took place. And some of them were weird. I told you about the blood on the door and some others that were very, very weird. And I began to have periods of depression that would last for a number of days. It was like a dark cloud. I could see it coming, and it would take over me, and I'd become, as it were, deaf and dumb. I'd become unable to act and to do what I should do, and I even had suicidal thoughts at times, and then it would kind of go away, and then I would be able to function, but you know, it would come back again. And it was through that, because you know what I always did? I always blamed myself. I always said, boy, you're not much of a man. You're not much of a pastor. You're not much of a Christian. You can't handle things. You can't deal with things. And I just kept pouring shame on me. It didn't really click with me that this could be demonic attack. And when I began to start understanding this, I went to a Christian camp and I heard a guy speak. And it all seemed to come together. And I started learning this and studying this, and I began to practice this. And I found that stuff would go away. I can still at times see the cloud, but I'll deal with it, stand up against it, and clothe myself in Christ and confess the truth, and it will flee. And we'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow night. But to me, that's how I understand putting on the armor of God. I'm going to pray, and then if anybody wants to ask a question, feel free. Or if you want to come up, if you don't want to ask questions, you're welcome to slip out. But if you want to stay behind and come up and ask questions or whatever, I'll be glad to help. Lord,